This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Make me alive again. Give me a fresh start. So check my heart, please. Wash the filth away. Don't leave me drowning here, alone and astray. Don't leave me drowning here, alone and astray.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to another episode of The Power of Dhikr. We're still talking about the benefits of dhikr, and as we come to the end of our discussion about the benefits of dhikr, we really haven't covered even a tiny portion of all of the benefits of dhikr in the life of a Muslim. But the purpose behind these first few episodes is simply to give you an idea, to motivate you, to make you feel like, you know, no matter how complicated Islam is getting, and no matter how many things there are that you have to do, and no matter all of the deeds that you strive to do every single day, they need to be underpinned and they need to be consistent along with the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. There is a hadith of a Bedouin. And the Bedouin, he came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, "O Messenger of Allah, the halal and the rulings of Islam, the sharia of Islam, the different parts of Islam have become many to me. Tell me something comprehensive that will be enough for me." So I'm sort of like struggling with all of these things, this halal and the haram and all of these issues of Islam. Because of course in the beginning Islam was very limited in the number of things people had to do, and it increased over time as more laws were revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as the laws got larger in number, a Bedouin came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, "All of the tenets of Islam and all of the sharia of Islam and the pillars of Islam have become many. So tell me," he said, "فَأَخْبِرْنِي بِأَمْرٍ جَامِعٍ." Tell me something completely comprehensive. Something that it just covers everything that I need in every single way. And it will be enough for me. I'll be able to suffice myself with it. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, "Alayka bi dhikri Allahi ta'ala." You have to remember Allah. You have to do the remembrance of Allah. The Bedouin said to him, "Will this be enough for me, O Messenger of Allah?" The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Yes, and not only that, but it will be more than you need. Yes, and it will be even more than you need." In other words, it's not just going to suffice you, it's not just going to get you to the minimum level, it's going to take you beyond the minimum level as well, and into the higher levels of the practicing of Islam. And that's because if we look at the dhikr of Allah, it comprises everything that we need. When we pray, we do the dhikr of Allah. When we fast, we engage ourselves in the remembrance of Allah. Throughout our days and our lives, we're engaged in the remembrance of Allah. It leads us to doing all of the actions of Islam properly, and it underpins all of the actions of Islam, because every action of Islam that we do is underpinned by the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why it is amrun jami', a comprehensive thing that we can do, which will not only suffice us, but will actually take us to the higher levels of paradise that we wish to achieve. Let's take a moment to look at the gatherings of remembrance. Those gatherings where people get together and they're engaged in the remembrance of Allah. Now, when I say gatherings of remembrance, many people may misunderstand me. They may think that we're talking about gathering a large number of people together and saying in unison, "Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar." That's not the meaning of the gatherings of remembrance. If you remember back to the very first episode of this series of The Power of Dhikr, we said that there are two conditions for any good deed to be accepted. It has to be in accordance with the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It has to be sincerely for Allah alone. So this idea of getting people together and doing collective dhikr or something like that, even though a person may believe that this comes under the majalis of dhikr, the gatherings of remembrance, in reality, if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't do it, we don't do it. And it's that simple. If he didn't do it, we don't do it. Because everything that we need in our religion is there for us. We already have it from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the kinds of gatherings of remembrance are not collectively saying in unison subhanallah, or for one person to say subhanallah and everyone else to say subhanallah 100 times, or anything like that. But they are these gatherings that in which Allah Azza wa Jal is mentioned frequently. So let's say that you gather together with your friends, you gather together with your family, you gather together in a masjid, and you talk about some beneficial knowledge. How many times during these episodes, these short episodes of the power of dhikr, have we mentioned the name of Allah, remembered Allah, have we praised Allah, have we said, you know, one of these du'as, these comprehensive du'as and comprehensive adhkar, you know, these simple things of remembering Allah all the time, that everyone is sat at home remembering Allah, that people gather together and they hear the name of Allah mentioned, and they hear the praise of Allah mentioned. When you go to teach someone about Islam, how much and how often do you praise Allah? Do you sort of mention the praise of Allah and your thanks of Allah? It's a frequent thing. Even when you gather together with your friends, and you come together just for a social gathering, is that gathering a one in which Allah's name is frequently mentioned? Not in the means of swearing by Allah and saying such things, but simple remembrance of Allah, advising each other to truth, advising each other to patience. If this is a gathering like this, then this is a gathering from the gathering of the remembrance of Allah. When you get together to read the Qur'an to your teacher, and you recite some of the Qur'an to your teacher, this is from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's from the most significant parts of the remembrance of Allah, because Allah describes the Qur'an as al-dhikr. Allah describes the Qur'an as the remembrance, the dhikr, the remembrance. So this remembrance is something that when we recite the Qur'an to our teachers, it's also a gathering of remembrance. So these gatherings of remembrance are those which are in accordance with the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I want to begin by reading you an athar, a narration of one of the companions. And this companion is Umayr. And Umayr, he says, may Allah be pleased with him, he says, Al-Imanu yazidu wa yanqus. Iman goes up and down. And we all know that our Iman, it goes up and our Iman goes down. So they asked him, they said, what makes your Iman go up and what makes your Iman go down? He says, if we remember Allah, if we do the dhikr of Allah, Azza wa Jal, and we praise Him, and we glorify Him, this increases our Iman. And if we forget about Him, and we lose the remembrance of Him, and we forget, this decreases our Iman. And there are many, many other statements of the companions which talk about a similar thing. So dhikr raises up our Iman. When we gather together, we remember Allah, we praise Him, we glorify Him, we say Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, we say Azza wa Jal, we say, you know, Jalla fi Ula, we say any of these kind of simple remembrances after the name of Allah, this kind of remembering of Allah, it increases our Iman. And when we forget about Allah, we forget to give Allah His rights, we don't mention about Allah Azza wa Jal, we don't say MashaAllah, we don't say InshaAllah, then what happens is our Iman goes down. And there are many ahadith. There is the hadith of Anas ibn Malik, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if you go by the Riyadh al-Jannah, this, you know, the gardens of paradise, and he mentioned about these gardens of paradise, and the companions, they said to him, what are these gardens of paradise? What do you mean the gardens of paradise, if when we go by the gardens of paradise? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the gardens of paradise are the gatherings of the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. So these gatherings where we get together to remember Allah, we talk about beneficial knowledge, we mention Allah's name, we glorify Allah, these gatherings of beneficial knowledge in accordance with the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described them as the gardens of paradise. And Ibn al-Qayyim, may Allah be pleased with him, he said, whoever wants to live in the gardens of paradise on this earth, then let him attend and let him sit in the gatherings of remembrance, the gatherings of dhikr, because these gatherings of dhikr are the gardens of paradise on this earth. The gardens of paradise on this earth. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith of Abu Hurairah, indeed Allah has angels, and these angels, their job is to go around and to go around all of the different places, all of the different roads, all of the different streets, and they look for the people who are remembering Allah. So when they find a group of people who are remembering Allah, they call all of the other angels and they say, come on, you come to this thing which you need. Because these angels, they have a need, and their need is to attend the gatherings of the remembrance. And so when they attend these gatherings, they surround and cover these gatherings with their wings all the way up to the heavens of this earth. And then their Lord, Allah Azza wa Jal, and Allah knows best. Don't forget that Allah is asking these questions and He knows best. So Allah Azza wa Jal, while He knows best, He says, what are my slaves saying? So the angels say, they are saying Subhanallah, and they are saying Allahu Akbar, and they are saying Alhamdulillah, and they are glorifying you and they are praising you. And so Allah Azza wa Jal says, have they seen me? And so the angels say, no, by Allah they have not seen you. So Allah says, what would it be like if they had seen me? So the angels say, if they had seen you, they would be even stronger in worship of you than they are now. And they would praise you even more, and they would glorify you even more, and they would say Subhanallah even more. And then Allah Azza wa Jal says, what are they asking me for? He knows best what they are asking, but He wishes for this to be shown in front of the angels, for the angels to all bear witness. What are they asking me for? So the angels say, they're asking you for paradise. And so Allah says, have they seen this paradise? And the angels say, no, by Allah, our Lord, they have not seen this paradise. And so the Allah Azza wa Jal says, what would they be like if they had seen it? The angels say, if they had seen it, they would be even more keen. And they would be even stronger in seeking it. And they would desire for it even more. And then Allah says, what are they seeking refuge from? And the angels say, they're seeking refuge from the hellfire. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla says, have they seen the hellfire? They say, no, they have not seen it. By Allah, our Lord, they have not seen it. And so Allah says, how would they be if they had seen it? And the angels say, if they had seen it, they would run away from it even more. They would be even quicker. And they would fear it even more. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla says, I bear witness in front of you. I bear witness to you that I have forgiven them. And so an angel from the angels say, amongst them is so-and-so, and he is not from them. And he only just came because of a need that he had. And Allah Azza wa Jal says that they are they are all sitting together. And this one who is there for some other reason is not going to harm them. So you imagine, subhanAllah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala boasts about this action of the slaves to the angels. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives them because they are remembering Allah together in one of these beautiful gatherings of remembrance. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make our gatherings of remembrance upon the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I do hope you will join us again for another episode of The Power of Dhikr coming up soon, insha'Allah ta'ala. And until then, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wash all the filth away and change my dead heart. Make me alive again. Give me a fresh start. So change my heart, please. Wash the filth away. Don't leave me drowning here, alone and astray. Don't leave me drowning here, alone and astray.